smiles, oh yes. Beautiful girl, lovely dress. Where she is now, I can only guess. Cause it's gone, daddy gone. Love is gone, it's gone. Daddy.
Welcome to the Red Card District. Joining us today are Heisenberg Camp, also known as Martin.
Hello.
And we have Joseph, Mr. I Hate Your Club, joining Alex and I today. It is our quarterfinal wrap-up. We've had some sumptuous action, some kind of not some more tedious affairs, but a lot of highly contested action. Nearly all of our matches, about half of them went to overtime and potentially penalties. It's been a bit crazy. Alex, what was the match that stood out the most to you out of the quarters?
That stood out? They all felt like they were the same, you know. A little hope for the small guy, and then later, James get crushed.
Except for Costa Rica. But they were playing Greece.
They were playing Greece, you know. And everyone wanted Greek dreams to be crushed. So,
yeah.
Greece were waiting for a bailout.
Joseph, we shouldn't choose those jokes.
And the Germans weren't there.
Like, that's you could have told me this 3 years ago. I would have laughed, maybe. But
I still laugh, so I don't care. I don't tell jokes for you.
Certainly not.
You're mistaken there.
Certainly not. Well, let's get to the one matter at hand, the match that we saw yesterday. That was something that's very dear and close to all of us.
Yes.
The USA taking on Belgium yesterday. It was quite the heated contest. Martin, why don't you give me your thoughts on that match and tell me how you felt it played out.
Yeah, well, we got beat. The final score, I think, was very flattering to the United States, really, because I thought Belgium came out and played well, really dominated that match pretty much from start to finish. The United States had real trouble keeping the ball, especially doing anything with the ball in the opposing half. There were times where it really felt like just a shooting gallery for Belgium. It seemed like every other minute or so they were creating a great chance. Obviously it's been said a lot, but Tim Howard had a really fantastic, amazing game. We could have easily been down 2-3, 2 or 3-0 at half. So to somehow finish that at 0-0 was a miracle. And especially, you know, Wondolowski really had the match on his boot, very close to the end. Could have really stolen the match from Belgium. And then, you know, obviously things really kind of kicked off in extra time. They scored a couple quick goals. Lukaku came on and just bulldozed straight through the United States twice, really. Julian Green scored a great goal. We had another chance to send it to penalties with that great little set piece there at the end, but Dempsey couldn't quite finish the chance. So, you know, it was a weird thing because I felt like that, you know, you look at 2-1, you think it was close, and in a way it was because we had some great chances to maybe steal a result, but overall, based on the performance, Belgium certainly deserved it. They were the much better team, and you know, very, very proud of the United States, how hard we played. I think we, you know, never gave up to still be working that hard, down 2 goals in extra time after 105 minutes is pretty remarkable. So yeah, overall, you know, really I think a pretty good showing for the United States in this tournament, and I think most, you know, realistically, that was about the best case scenario we could have hoped for coming in.
Yeah, I think it really has raised the profile of the U.S. men's national team. I mean, people have been talking about it from, you know, all over the world, and people were, you know, genuinely recognizing USA soccer as it is, as something decent, and also like being able to put out a team that really competes and fights and plays in unison, like a team that is really cohesive. And that really impressed and won over a lot of neutrals. It takes a lot.
I mean, the one way of knowing that there's been progress in football in America is when you know that you've pissed off a lot of British people. So that's definitely happened. And
it's always good.
That's how you know that.
USA.
Yeah, that's how you know that's progress, you know. So I think you're being very pessimistic, Martin. I mean, when I saw the game, maybe I closed my eyes because I was too drunk to see the actual what was happening on the pitch, but Belgium's chances, I mean, it's their fault for being poor, you know. I'm sure if they had scored that we would have pointed fault with the defence and whatever happened with Beisler and Gonzalez, but it felt like for the entire game, the US just were still in it for the entire game. And even when it was 2-0 down, it wasn't long before Julian Green scored. it was just the beginning of the second extra time. So yeah. I felt like, I don't know. In my head, it was much closer than it.
I don't think so. I mean, I think we had a great performance from Tim Howard, the way Martin said. But I mean, really, who was getting the lion's share of the chances? You know, Tim Howard had more saves before we even went into extra time than he's ever had in a match for the U.S. men's national team. That means he was under a lot of pressure. I mean, Belgium was the more dangerous side, but, you know, we were in there with a fight, and it was close, you know. It was nil-nil all the way till there. And I don't know. Joseph, are you ever going to be able to forgive Wondolowski for that miss?
Nope. I mean, I'm sure he feels horrible, and I'm sure that he won't forget it either.
Oh, he's already dead. I mean.
And if he was in a different country, he might be. But, you know, I mean, it was just disappointing, you know. Because he's in those positions. He finds himself in those positions a lot, and you don't expect much from him. And then he finds those positions, and he puts away some crap goal. And that was the opportunity that, you know, for him
to get a Wando goal, right? Those are the kind of goals he scores, right?
That's the goal where you go, how did he even get there? And you don't care.
Yeah,
and
do you understand that, like, Landon Donovan tried to hang himself when that happened? Like, there was nothing left of his soul.
There was not enough time, you know, for him to do that. I mean, it was just, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was loud, to say the least, during the last 40 minutes of that match. And, you know, I know that Martin seemed to take it well, but if you look at my timeline, I didn't take it so well.
Who was the Budweiser sponsored? Who was your favorite Belgian player?
That's funny. I wouldn't have a favorite Belgian player ever.
Okay, who impressed you the most, Joseph?
Nobody.
Okay, who made you happy? Did no one make you happy? Did no one impress you?
No, nobody impressed
me. Not even Jordan Green.
I thought Hazard was disappointing.
Yeah, I think Hazard's, well, I mean, Hazard's got his one move, right? Look. He fakes left, tries to come inside on his right. I mean, it's kind of Robin on the other side.
Man, that guy fakes everything. He's Mourinho trained, you know?
Yeah, I thought De Bruyne was, I may be mispronouncing it, but I thought he was their best player. De Bruyne. I thought he was their best player. Obviously, Lukaku kind of was the real impact player, but I thought De Bruyne was pretty consistently good the whole match.
He found himself in a lot of position, a lot of open space where, you know, we left a lot of that midfield open for him to just run ragged and have nobody closing him down to get that much opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he ended up being their baby-faced assassin. Like, I swear he doesn't look a day over 15. It's not in his face. But, I mean, he cut us apart right there at the end. I mean, I guess you probably would have to say he was one of their better players throughout the match. But, I mean, the thing is, this Belgium team, even though they've beaten us and they look halfway decent, they still don't convince me enough to think they're going to make it.
Oh, no.
I mean, I don't doubt they could beat Argentina. Argentina haven't performed that well yet either. You know, it's hard to say the performance has been really fantastic. But I don't know, maybe we're underestimating the Swiss team a bit.
Look, you to know? Me, Belgium has a feel of Ivory Coast to them, you know. A lot of great individuals, not mashing well. They'll shine in like a little stride and that's it. I think the next match they're going to be out, so... It's Argentina.
Yeah.
You know, to go back about the U.S. team and the recognition and all the stuff that was said by people all over the world yesterday, I don't know. I found it a little condescending, most of it. But, you know, it's not like we don't always have a team that fights to the death. I mean, I don't know if they've never watched a U.S. team in any sport, but we always have that. That's nothing new. We always fight with heart, whether we're outmatched, you know, with our talent. So I didn't see that being. I want better football. That's what I want. We'll always have heart.
That sounds very romantic, Joseph.
I think that's actually a really good point.
It's fucking true.
Because I think this has been a very successful World Cup for the United States, particularly off the pitch and getting a lot of recognition and more than anything, just getting so many people swept up in it here in the United States.
Shout out to our ratings. Did you see any of the official numbers? I mean, I know that a lot of stuff is skewed, and we've been, Alex and I have gone to several like big viewing parties, and you got to think, like, you know, right, a place that 500 people in it. It's like, well, think about all those households that would have had it on if they hadn't been there. And
yeah.
And then some think people aren't even counting the Univision numbers of what's been shown in the Spanish language. So very impressive, right? I mean, the numbers were better than the NBA finals, right? And the World Series.
Yeah. I think they pale in comparison.
But first time ever that we've ever put up that kind of showing for these USA matches. It's really, really impressive for the sport here in the nation.
Some of it has to do with the time of day, which helped too.
But look, USA played at fucking 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. Like that's not ideal primetime viewing for us. You know,
if it was a
Sunday and it was like a matinee, you know, a Sunday lunch, that's when you expect to get those kind of ratings. You know, that's really impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really a TV rating person, you know, so I wouldn't know.
Tuesday, 4 Eastern, yeah.
But I would say that I think the more I think about it, the more I'm actually not convinced it was a fine World Cup and overall a successful World Cup on the pitch, but not incredibly so. You know, we didn't do anything that we haven't done before several times. I mean, we did the exact same thing we did in 2010 and 94.
Did anyone here really think the United States were going to get out of the group?
Like, I thought we had a chance.
Certainly had a chance, but I mean, if you were forced to put your money on it before the tournament, would you pick them in your bracket outside of being a homer about it? That's the thing. Like, talent wise, we got put in, you know, arguably the group of death. You know, a very tough group with a lot of strong teams. You know, as much as I wanted to say the USA was going to get out, and I knew that we could. I still never felt that convinced that we would do it. I was really hoping that the spirit would persevere, and they did. And I think by that standard, since most experts had them not even making it out of the group, it makes this, you know, run to the
look the way to I the
round
saw it
of 16.
Was, I don't race a lot of the American players. I don't think a lot of them are at the level of European players. It's not even close, some of them. So to me, what Klinsmann did was he brought out the best from them. I mean, that's not the best one that Alaska can do, obviously, but he's that type of player. He's hit and miss.
Well, I agree with that, but I think that's, and I don't want to sound spoiled or entitled, but along the lines of what Joseph was saying earlier, yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean this very sincerely. It is great that we have a team that fights for 120 minutes, that never gives up, that believes in itself, that can play together as a team. But it's starting to feel like the same old pattern where nobody expects much of us. We overachieve, we get out of the group, and then we get knocked out because, you know, those traits, as admirable and as great as they are, they can only take you so far. You know, it's great to be this crappy underdog and to fight. And the reality is that's where we are right now. But the reality that we've seen, you know, that we saw in 2010, we saw this year, we saw against Germany in 2002, is that if you come up against a vastly more talented team, which is kind of what we're running into in the World Cup, especially in the knockout rounds, and they have a decent to good game, we're going to get knocked out because we don't have the talent to compete at that level. And I think the real issue that we've seen time and time again at this World Cup, what you just said, Alex, is that we don't have the quality of players. And so, yeah, I mean, this was great. I'm very proud of the team. I was happy with the performance, but I would like this to be kind of a wake up call. And to his credit, I think Klinsmann has recognized this issue.
But we were discussing
that
this,
we really need to focus on player development,
right?
And start developing talent.
Me and Hawkins spoke about the player development, and we talked about how in the last couple of years, the MLS has basically brought back its American players, and also it's given them really tough contracts to get out of, so they can't get out to Europe and play their best football. Now, in the long term, it makes MLS stronger, but in the short term, it makes the players' developments weaker. So it depends.
Yeah, and that's an issue, and I'm very interested to see how some of that plays out after this World Cup, because I can think of three players in particular, Beisler, Gonzalez, and especially Yedlin, who I think have had at least decent World Cup performances enough to put them on the radar of some European club. So
would the clubs in America let them? Would they let them go? Would they give them a stupid price? That's the problem. because that, that
is the problem. That, and that is the issue. If some club comes in and wants to pay, you know, $5 million or so for Yedlin, I'm not sure MLS is going to let him go. And that's it. Then you have this issue where I'm not sure MLS is acting in the I'm not sure the interests of MLS are necessarily aligned with the interests of the national team. And
oh, of course not. It's about money. It's always about money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
Well, that really comes down to the national manager having to, you know, to make things happen like they do around the world to get their players to move different places. So,
well, you got to think Jurgen's gonna help facilitate some of these moves though, because you know that he in particular is, you know, he came out and was, you know, adamant and very open on his stance on some of his players coming back to the MLS. And, you know, he talked about how he was disappointed. You know, he wasn't happy with Dempsey leaving.
He went to Tottenham to get more experience. I mean, that's how far he would go. That's not. So he would obviously love players to go abroad and get some experience, you know, you think.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, I mean, I'm happy to see the end of some of these guys' hopefully World Cup careers. Maybe some of them will stay around 2 more years for Gold Cup or something. But there's some of these players that just, I hope we have better players coming and developing that we might not know about.
ZLM.
Well, sure, there's one, but I mean, we need someone up top bad, you know. I mean, and Josie's fine for what he does, but, you know, we need someone.
Well, he's not the next level.
Put the ball in the net from 3 yards out. I don't know. That's all I'm looking for.
I'm really hoping that Johansson really
you
develops.
You should have made Ali Adier American. You should have played.
Jeremy Adier. Killing it at Lorient, right?
He's killing it.
Totally. But I mean, it's interesting the way you say it though, Martin. Like, I'm with you. Like, I'm ready to move past this level that we've been at where everyone considers this, you know, par for the course, or that
who's
this is
happy
good
with this level. Like, everyone wants more.
Yeah, everybody wants more, but I mean, you have to start to demand it. You have to need, you know, like, it has to become the standard. And I hope, I mean, that's ideally the whole point of us bringing in Klinsmann was to bring more legitimacy to the program and make this, you know, run more like a top level ship and as an organization. And I think, I mean, whatever we have to say about him, I don't know that I've loved everything that he's done, but you have to say he came out and got a lot of his tactics right in many of these matches and made some of the right decisions and important substitutions that influenced matches. And you see that cohesive spirit. You have to give credit to the manager. You know, we talk about what we've seen from like watching Atletico Madrid and the way they've taken on the, you know, like being able to have some sort of team ethos and build something in the manner that your manager wants to mold you into. And this team certainly had the character and the spirit or whatever, though, of what something that says a mix between the American grit and with what Klinsmann was trying to get out of them. So I think,
you know, I think that teamwork, it's almost ingrained in every sport that we do since we were kids. I mean, really, I think that comes through in every sport, to every team sport for the United States. It's kind of the opposite of, say, you know, England, where it's a lot of really good individuals, but coming together as
a
real team.
It's not in rugby and in cricket, but in football, I mean, these players, they get paid too much. They have sex with lots of grandmothers, and they don't tend to care about
lots
their lives.
Lots and lots.
Too many. She's trying to scalp their hair now.
Well, let's move on from the U.S. Jim, I want to get your opinion on something. Who was the most impressive team for you in the round of 16? I know we saw a lot of performances, not too many clear-cut dominant performances. Is there anyone that stood out to you, Joseph?
No real dominant performances. I mean, a lot of late, you know, where the talent that's there on the teams really kind of finally shows through.
But if you had to pick one player or one team,
I'd probably say Colombia, right? Colombia probably had the best match. Yeah, I think so. Performance-wise, I think they probably had the best match.
Martin?
Yeah, Colombia. They've been the best team of the tournament. I thought they were the best team of the round of 16. To me, that's the marquee matchup for the quarterfinals.
And who has been your,
see if they can take down Brazil.
Your worst performance, worst team?
Of the winners or just overall?
Overall.
Oh.
Well, no, but just from this round. Just from this round.
Of course this round, I mean.
Oh. Yeah. I thought Uruguay did not look very good. I mean, maybe they made Colombia look a little bit better, but without Suarez, they just didn't look like they had any outlet or any way of getting through. I never really felt like they had much of a chance.
They
in
made
that
Cavani game. Look so cheap.
They did, but I mean, honestly, the midfield that they've had throughout this tournament just really didn't do much. But I was saying before these matches that Cavani really needed to step up and make a statement, even if
he didn't.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He didn't.
He made his price go down.
Well, he was doing it just for you, so that Arsenal would be able to afford him, just for you. No, but you know, he didn't really make his impression on that match. And it was rather unfortunate. I thought he played pretty well in the England game.
Greece had the worst performance for me.
No, they were beautiful. They were doing what they could do best, being Greece.
Well, know? Right, but that doesn't mean that they were impressive.
Look, being Greek is impressive. Okay.
No, if I had that nose, I'd be much better. But since I don't have that Greek nose, no. So I don't give them anything.
You can't all have this beautiful nose.
I would also say I thought Holland was terrible for 75 minutes.
Oh yeah, they were pretty garbage. They got really bad. I thought when we went to see that match,
that was so sad.
Well, you know, Alex said something to me. I think it was right around halftime. It's like, oh, this is the Holland that we expected to see at the tournament. You know, that this was the team that was disjointed. Yeah. You know, still had talented players, but wasn't putting it together. It's what we expected to see in the group stages for those of us who didn't pick them advancing. I thought Spain and Chile would pick them apart, and yet. They've looked better leading up to it, but you know now they have an interesting matchup now, right?
Costa Rica.
I mean, you have to think, as good as Costa Rica has been, I mean, they have the easiest path to the semifinal. You know, Mexico was a tough team, but it was nowhere near maybe the hardest opponent they could have had at that round. And now they get Costa Rica, another CONCACAF team that on paper is supposed to be nowhere near their class. No, I'm not saying that I couldn't see Costa Rica winning that match, but you have to say they're big favorites, right, to make the semifinals now, which kind of makes me sick.
Yeah, it does.
Just because of those couple players.
But. Well, you know, I expect all these teams to play better. You've got, what, eight? You've got all eight first place teams that came out of the group stages, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I expect Germany to play much better. I expect Brazil to play much better, and I don't know if Argentina will because I don't think their defense is very good. But their defense hasn't been the issue.
They haven't really been leaking tons of goals. They just haven't been able to find them. You know.
Well, I would say that's a lot of bad finishing that they've kind of run up against. I think there's been plenty of opportunities for them to be scored on.
Yeah, yeah, they've been open enough.
You know, and if Belgium can do. Some of what they did towards the end of the match versus the United States, I think Belgium is going to take that match.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have thought so, you know, before, but seeing, you know, just going through the performances, I'd actually pick Belgium to win that match.
What did you think about Mexico?
I thought they were good, but I thought they let their foot off the gas a little bit. I mean, they were in control of that match. Holland was open. They could have gotten that second goal, and
they fucked it up.
Would have been over.
Yeah. Too early. Pulled back a bit too early. Yeah. I mean,
you know what it reminded me of? Reminded me of the 2006 Champions League final.
Well, they weren't down a man.
They weren't down to 10 men.
Yeah, it's,
but it felt like it. It felt like it.
I don't know. I don't think it felt like it at all.
To me, it did.
I didn't cry after Mexico lost.
I didn't either, but I'll tell you what, I actually felt bad for Mexico, which I never thought was possible for me I had a little bit of sympathy because I thought a white man feeling sorry for a brown team?
This is news to me.
This is the magic of the World Cup, man. It brings people together.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought I couldn't believe. I mean, I tweeted, "I can't believe that Mexico were gonna, you know,
go through."
Yeah,
you jinxed it, right?
Apparently, I have some superpower.
The motherfucker that is the most superstitious out of all of us is the one who tweets out something to jinx right before. You knew what you were doing. I'm telling all of your Mexican family. This is bullshit.
Don't
tell my wife.
I was honestly, there's one person I was really mad about this, and it was Rafa motherfucking Marquez. Because I understand it's fatigue set in the legs and all that, but we all know, every single one of us know exactly what Robin's going to do, and especially what he's looking for in the box right there. And as the player that is captaining Mexico in the fourth consecutive World Cup, with all this experience, the guy who spent the better part of a decade at Barcelona, like, is it up against Arjen Robben, someone who he's been playing against basically for at least over a decade, and he still gave up a penalty in that same fashion. I was fucking furious. I was fucking furious because of all people to do that there. Like, you stay in front of him. You stay in front of the man. You take away the angle.
It took 3 weeks to see the real Rafa Marquez. It took like 3 weeks to finally see him.
I know. Because he played decent. Yeah, he was living as a second lease on life or third or whatever, you know? Like, I was surprised. He still had a few moments where he, you know, his slip that almost cost us with a goal. There's been a few moments, but overall, he's had a good tournament, you know? I never thought there was a road back. Did you think there was a road back, Martin, after his spell at New York? Because he looked like absolute dog shit there.
No, and I'll tell you what, I had season tickets in 2010 when I lived in New York, and so I got to watch him just steal money on a weekly basis.
Fucking
lazy shithead. it was as bad as I've ever seen. I mean, I've seldom seen any player at any level, including T-ball, give less of a shit than Rafa Marquez did when he was at New York, and I certainly would have sworn his career was done. It should have been done. So I don't feel bad for him, but I do feel bad for Mexico as a team because I thought they were pretty hard done by. And, you know, I don't buy any conspiracy theories, but they really had a run of bad refereeing decisions go against them in this tournament to overcome.
And it was
a rough path.
But Robin's there's no way I would have called it. I would have called that penalty. He couldn't have sold it. I mean, it was the best-selling job I've ever seen of contact.
It's the same thing. I mean, he and Suarez are players that are in that category. They're such good divers in terms of they'll take any
Robin contact. Could have sold insurance if he wasn't a footballer. You know, he could sell anything. He could sell you like the worst.
Who would trust that fucking face?
People do, you know. People do. People are gullible.
A penis selling me insurance.
You know what? You have a country that trusted George Bush, okay, and George W. Bush. People trust the faces.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You don't have that. You don't remember exactly what happened. But all right.
I'm saying hi to the NSA.
We won't get into that.
Good luck. He's going to get cavity surgery on his next flight.
Yeah, he is, because I've already made the calls.
Shit. Perfect. Yeah, well, so Mexico are unfortunately out for me and my Mexican and Chicano brethren. It's sad because it's just so quickly, you know, that this – I mean, for those of us here in LA, there's such a huge swell of
Mexicans.
Well, no, Mexicans and Americans of real football fans, real soccer fans here in the States that were just really engaged in this, and there's a lot of passion. You're seeing it everywhere. You see it on the streets, people with the flags on their, you know, flags in their cars. You know, LA is full of front runner fans. You know, as soon as some team does well, within a week they put up the little, whether it's the Lakers or the fucking Clippers.
I saw a Mexican and Italian flag on the same car.
They're Mexican and Italian. I know.
And it was
Mexican
like a beat up piece of shit, like Camry or something.
So what?
Okay,
that's the American dream, right there.
The American dream.
Got a Camry and two flags. What else do you want? And sunshine. So don't forget about that.
Yeah, but Mexico are now out, and so it's kind of sad that we've lost. You know, all these people who've been such big fans now. The main teams that they were supporting are all now out, but at least it has gathered a lot of interest. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be weird because
the only team I'm supporting
from
now
here on out,
left,
I mean,
is Costa Rica.
We don't have these teams left,
and that's futile. Yes,
no, but it's going to feel like a void because it's not
exciting.
Well, on the ground level, not having one of those two teams, like a team that has such a huge fan base here, will affect a bit of the interest. But
everybody will get their ready Brazil shirts out again.
There's a lot of German fans in America. A lot.
There's a good amount of Germans.
Yeah.
But
it's a fetish.
You think it's a disproportionate amount of German fans?
It's a weird thing, you know. There's a lot of German fans in America.
You're saying like American German fans?
Americans who have no affiliation with German heritage.
Are you saying that because you're an Arsenal fan, you know a lot of Americans who are Arsenal fans and like players on Germany?
I just go online, okay, search German fetish. And you'll see.
Shall not.
I'm not searching that. I'm not searching that.
We'll not be doing that one.
At least not at work. Maybe I'll search that at home.
So let's talk a little bit about Brazil and Colombia, because that's going to be a very interesting matchup. Martin, you said it was – you think it's the headlining match, and I think it probably deserves top billing. If not, I think that Friday doubleheader that we have is just, you know, it's just fantastic. It's basically the two big powerhouses of the two biggest continents going up against each other. But let's talk a little about that match. Has your opinion changed? Well, I suppose, do you pick something different happening than what you would have thought before the tournament in this match? Or like, which way do you think you're going to go?
I don't, but it's a lot closer than I would have thought, because I picked Brazil to win the tournament. I still think they're going to win the tournament, even though they have not looked good so far. I think beating them, knocking them off on their home soil is so tough, and you could just, I don't know, just the narrative almost seems to be writing itself that they've already got their great escape in, and sometimes teams just really push on from that. And so I think they're going to find a way to get past Colombia, but I'm really interested to see it because Brazil really have not looked good at all. I think Colombia have been the team of the tournament without any doubt for me so far. And I think Colombia can give them a really good game. I certainly would not be surprised if Colombia gets past them there. But until I actually see with my own eyes Brazil lose a match, a World Cup match in Brazil, I'm not picking against them.
That's probably pretty wise. How about you, Joseph?
Well, I will go against what I picked to begin the tournament because I had Chile beating Brazil. So
can't change your mind.
I wasn't far off. But I think Brazil's going to start playing better, and I think they'll have no problem with Colombia. Actually,
no problem with Colombia.
No
that,
problem.
That is a bold statement, sir.
I'll tell you, I predict Brazil will score at least 3 goals.
Wow. All right. Well, this is a place for bold predictions, and we've got Joseph giving us quite the stunning prediction. 3 goals for Brazil is what he predicts.
Yeah.
That is a bit mad. Do you think that's crazy, Alex, or are you on board with him?
I think Colombia hasn't faced someone like Brazil, and Brazil are going to take them apart. So
take them apart. Wow. All right. Well, I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to go with Colombia with a narrow victory.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I kind of hope I'm right too. Like, I don't have anything against Brazil, but just Colombia's been the best team to watch so far this tournament, and I don't think Brazil have faced anything like Colombia yet. You know, I mean, a team that can nearly match them in technique in certain areas and have a player. I mean, they also have the player who's been the player of the tournament. James Rodriguez has been the best player in this tournament, hands down.
Look, anyone who plays for Colombia tomorrow, or even looks Colombian, has to fly away from Colombia if they lose.
That's not true.
That's not true. It's not 1994.
Have you seen what I'm wearing? It's definitely 1994.
I've got no answer to any of that.
Yeah, that's true. I can't really.
No, but I mean this Colombian team. I mean they have done well. They lost their best player before the tournament. You know, I mean Falcao was certainly on paper, and you know,
I'd say the best player fantastic. Now is James Rodriguez.
I think
he's better than Falcao right now.
Yeah, right now as Falcao's recovering from fucking knee surgery.
He's on the beach. I saw pictures.
Yeah. Well.
Wow.
But I mean, you take this player away from them, and they don't seem like they've missed a beat, really. And this team has played really well. I didn't really see a lot from Jackson Martinez in this last match. He didn't really carry over that form from the last group stage match, unfortunately. Yeah, I don't know. He sometimes just looks like he's not too bothered. But James Rodriguez has been fantastic. Cuadrado has always been a threat. I mean, he's kind of one of those guys. Cuadrado seems so raw, you know, but he's got all the talent, and he can really put it together. I mean, he's got those quick feet and that pace and athleticism, man. The guy's quite the talent. I really think they're gonna give Brazil a run for the money, and I'm changing my decision here. I mean, granted, I had Brazil going one more match and then losing, but I think I'm flip-flopping now. So, Colombia for me.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Joaquin is flip-flopping.
Flip-flopping. But, hey, I'm running up to it.
What about the France-Germany game? What do you guys think is going to happen?
I can't wait to watch that match.
It's going
to
be at 9 a.m. on Friday, 4th of July. Yeah. Independence Day, right? Your Americans celebrate that day or something?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Is that match first? That's before the Brazil
yes,
match?
Yes,
oh, okay. I got that bright and early, huh?
So we'll be seeing the entire German team facing the entire French team. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, or just 11.
Just 11.
Probably 11 at a time, but they might all be there.
If France step it up, I think France might scare Germany away.
Well, way to go on, we'll go out on a fucking limb there with a bold
prediction. Why don't you say something?
If they go well, I think they might do it.
Jesus Christ.
Give me a... All right, you want to know what's up? All right, give us your prediction. Who's going to take it?
I so want Giroud to score like an overkick.
And I want fucking an ice cream sandwich, but it's not a
beer. Well, let's get you one then.
Yeah, you need to aim higher with your
team. Aim higher.
Yeah. I do need to aim a little higher. Well, the other thing I said was actually I probably was going to go a little too inappropriate, so I had to just quickly censor myself.
Yeah.
And came up with something. I had to go for something vanilla.
Look, Germany are going to play boring 80 minutes, and then they're going to score. And they're going to break French hearts. And
well, do you know that you know, a lot of people pointed to Giroud not having a great match last match. I didn't think he was really involved in too much of the match. Do you think he's going to set up with Griezmann to start this time?
Yeah, I think Griezmann's definitely going to start. They played 4-4-2 in that fashion because they were playing a weaker team. So they're not going to do that now with Germany. They're going to play way more defensive. They're going to play 4-3-3. And, I mean, Valbuena definitely gets to start. He's going to try to track back a bit. I don't know if Griezmann tracks back very well. But it looks like Benzema starts that one.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Giroud drops to the bench. But, I mean, just like the way Giroud is such an important player to that team still. I mean, he is basically in that 11th, 12th, 13th man. He's a guy who's always going to get subbed on at some point. And he makes an impact. And we've seen he really does, when he gets involved, it's really been vital to their build-up play, similar to the way he is for Arsenal. So,
I think he and Griezmann work way better than Griezmann and Benzema. And I know that worked at the end of that match for them, but I think that had more to do with Griezmann and changing the system than it had to do with Benzema.
Martin, what's your take on this match?
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess I think Germany's going to do it, and just find a way to show up and play well. But you know, really, I think it's been a weird tournament. It's been a great tournament, but one of the sort of overarching themes of the tournament so far, I think, is you know all these kind of pre-match favorites, except for Spain. Have all kind of shown up and done just enough, but not impressed. And I think to me, the big storyline of this round is it's really time to put up or shut up for these teams because they can't keep skating by.
Both teams can still play awful, and one will get through anyway through penalties.
Well, I guess that's true, but to me, I mean, I think Brazil, Argentina, and Germany have all you know gotten good results on paper, but haven't looked that good, and I think they've been on
a knife edge, you know. Brazil needing a penalty shootout and Argentina just a couple minutes away from it, man. I mean, they're really cutting it much closer. Because I was just thinking, you know, we were watching the Argentina match, and I was like, man, well, Messi's been out there performing, but really there hasn't been much else from his teammates really performing, and they're just you're in extra time, and you're like, well, they could fucking lose this like really easily. It's been on a knife edge, and it's just been such a shame. But this team just really hasn't put it up yet. I'm with you, Martin. Though I expect, you know, at some point, and you got to think at this point, now that we're the quarterfinals and we are at the eight group winners all facing off, they need to set their game up to that next level to really make the final strides they needed to make the final and the semifinals, and so. I expect we're going to see more. I really do.
But they can't. I mean, they can't keep skating by. Germany plays like they did against Algeria.
No,
they're going to. You know, they've got to play better. I think they will. But I honestly think France has been better in this tournament than Germany so far overall. So it definitely wouldn't surprise me if France got through. I have this faith in Germany to do what Germany always does, which is kind of raise their game at the right time in these big tournaments.
Always make the semifinals and maybe a final. I think they've been missing a bit, you know, and everyone keeps stating it over and over again, but I mean, you can't, you can't really cheapen the influence of the fact that they're missing a guy like Royce, and then a guy like Götze is supposed to kind of come in and bring the spark. And really hasn't played well. He hasn't been playing well, and so he's the guy.
He's been playing well at all,
you know. And you know, Schürrle's come on and been significantly more dangerous. Obviously, he got the goal. You know, he doesn't. Schürrle's weird though, because he doesn't really always impress you, like, when you watch him, because it's not
his finishing is great. His movements.
Well, he reminds me a little bit of Müller. You know what I mean? Because he's a guy who you can play through the middle and can play through the wing. And is technically adept and can do a lot of stuff and gets into dangerous places.
He doesn't look really impressive until he scores.
He doesn't really look super impressive a lot of the time, but he seems to be more efficient. You know, he seems to create more and really get into dangerous positions and cause defenses a lot more.
Another disappointment is Götze. He's been
well. That's what we're saying. He didn't give them the spark they needed, and they needed, especially with the absence of Royce. You need something like that, and Götze is capable of it. I mean, look, I've watched him play long enough. The kid has got the skills and all the talent in the world, but he's not been performing up to scratch. And you know, it's just kind of, you got to see where they're going to get the goals from outside of Müller and the other guys. They got to perform. I'm still going to go with the German victory. Like, I'm going to stick with that pick. I just certainly feel like the match is going to be closer than what I had. You know, the feeling I had before the tournament, I had this matchup in my brackets and stuff, but I feel differently about, you know, the way the power has shifted, and then it seems like much more of a coin flip now, but you got to give Germany that edge just on their history and the way they succeed. You know, they're ruthlessly efficient and they don't lose in penalty kicks. So
I think France wins 2-1 late. Giroud
overhead kick.
Boom. No, Giroud's going to have the assist
with Dong.
Yes.
Sweet. So we got one. I think for France. We've got three for Germany.
I want France to win.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're not going to.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
There you have it.
So moving on. Alex, what are your thoughts on a couple of the other quarterfinals?
I mean, they're going to be incredibly crazy. Just the Argentina game is going to be insane. And Brazil, I mean, if Brazil doesn't make it past Colombia, it's going
to... Well, no, but let's talk about Argentina and Belgium.
Argentina. But... I mean, I think those two haven't impressed. Like, neither of them has impressed. So when we're going to get to them facing each other, hopefully things will cancel them out. And hopefully their star players will do their best to make them get past the final stage.
All right, who's going to win?
Argentina.
All day? All easy? Day.
No, not easy. Not easy. Messi's going to have to make a magic moment. Di Maria's been weirdly poor. You know, he scored a decent enough goal.
Yeah, but he had a shit match. I mean, he was so wasteful and dispossessed so many times.
And they've got so many people that can step it up, and they're just not doing it.
Yeah, they've looked really disjointed. And it seems like everything has had to come
from
Messi.
Higuain's looked like he wasn't even worth half the money that Arsenal bid for him initially. Last July, you know, Palacio looks like a crazy rat man. I don't know what the hell he is. You know, he's watched too much Ninja Turtles.
Lovetsi's been his kind of typical, like, I'm decent, but I don't really do
Lovetsi's
anything.
Lovetsi's been trying to be like a Ludovic Joly, but he's just failed at that. So
his beard game's on point.
Beard game is on the point.
Like Joly.
I mean, again, Gago has not been great. You know, Mascherano has been.
I have Belgium winning.
You got Belgium winning?
Yeah. I do now. I have Belgium winning and I have Costa Rica winning now.
I can't go against my picks. I'm sticking with Argentina.
Because Netherlands is going to do something stupid.
Because who's going to do something stupid?
Netherlands?
Yeah, I hope they do.
I hope they really do.
I really hope
they do. Did you guys hear about that drunk American fan that shouted at Van Persie after the game?
No.
He called him a cheater, but he thought he was Robin, but it was Van Persie. So...
He's like, his name's Robin, that's it.
Robin, you fucking cheater.
That's all right with me. I got no problem with that.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think I picked Argentina to get to the final pre-tournament, but I just really think they've looked pretty awful and are really vulnerable. And I actually thought Belgium had a good match against the United States. I think they're peaking at the right time, so I think I'm going to change my pick there. I think Belgium's going to find a way to do it.
If Belgium beats them, then they finally become the dark horses that we talked about.
No, I mean, no, they are the dark horse right now. I mean, they are in that sense. You could also say, well, obviously, Costa Rica.
It all depends on how much you rate America.
Yeah.
If you rate America very highly, then what they did was like a was like a
look. They had to beat a stubborn team. I kind of liken the performance to like what you know Germany had to do against Algeria. Like Algeria weren't as good of an opponent as they you know they weren't as good of a team.
Yeah,
but
Algeria
they
played,
put in such a
Algeria
great committed
way
performance.
Better than America did.
They played a bit better, but I mean in the same sense they had a strong organized team. It was tough to break down. I mean I don't think we're giving Switzerland a lot of credit either, because look, Switzerland's defense has been very stingy. And they played a very good organized game against a team that's been having trouble breaking down players.
They would have.
Well, the thing is, you know, like we've said, you know, like Argentina didn't really get a change from what they were facing in the groups. You know, Switzerland didn't really offer much in attack, and we're playing very compact. And what we've been saying is what we thought that you know once Argentina faced a team that would come out and play against them, it might benefit them by getting a little bit more space. Switzerland played a very organized defense. I thought Johan Giroud was. Played a very good game. You know?
Very impressed with our.
I like that fullback Rodriguez. Player.
Yeah, he was.
You know
impressive.
These guys, they put in a good committed performance. I think we're selling a little bit short. If I mean,
there are players that Tottenham would bid $8 million for and get, and then not play for a year and then sell.
Yeah, I do. I'd watch out for Switzerland at Euro at the Euros in 2016. I think they have a lot of good young players.
Yeah, it's a strong core. Like I think they've been a good team in this tournament. I mean, they got kind of turned over by France, but I mean, they had chances in that match, and they still scored two goals to at least get back into it, kind of. And it's, I mean, just in terms of a sporting spectacle. But I mean, they've played well in a few other games, you know, and they do have that talent. So very intriguing that matchup. Switzerland are out, but I mean, talking about Belgium. They could really do it, though. I mean, they have no one's going to say that they don't have the talent to go out and beat a team like Argentina, especially the way they've been playing. So it'll be interesting to see. Neither do I. I'm staying with Argentina, but it could be another tough one. It could go to extra time and penalties. Who knows? That would be.
I want more moments in the World Cup that's exciting and goes against what you truly, truly think will happen. So I'm all for whatever happens, but I just don't see them beating Argentina.
Yeah, I mean that was sort of the weird thing about this round, right? Is that all eight number one or all eight group winners went through. I think six out of the eight matches were scoreless at the half.
It took a little bit of the magic out of it.
But I actually felt like it was incredibly exciting nonetheless. I mean, if somebody had told you that, you'd have been like, "Oh, good Lord, like this is going to be terrible." But I felt like the favorites were always pushed. We had a couple of penalty shootouts. A couple matches got really exciting right there at the end. I mean, I thought it actually ended up being sort of weirdly exciting given the ultimate outcome.
I thought it was obviously different from the kind of exciting we had in the opening rounds. But to your point, I mean, there was also you could feel how big and important these matches were. It's an elimination match in the World Cup. Of course, things are going to be a little more tense. You know, a little more cagey in the first half. You're playing for your existence here, and this is. For nearly every single one of these players, except for the few that have played in World Cup semifinals or something like that, or better before.
Did you just say playing for your existence?
Playing for their existence? Yeah, they're playing for their existence. I mean, their existence
in the
tournament.
In the tournament.
Oh, okay.
I'm not getting like
some of them may be playing for their existence overall.
Super zen like.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it that
Colombians.
Way.
Colombians.
Yeah.
But I mean, their tournament lives are at risk, and there's a lot riding on these matches, and we felt the drama the whole way. Yeah, on paper when you see all the favorites go through, that's one thing. But like, how many of those matches went to overtime or shootouts?
Four or five.
So, you know, half or more than half of the matches went to extra time or penalty kicks. Like, those are games that are balanced on a knife's edge. And you look at even some that weren't. Like, okay, well, what Mexico Netherlands wasn't, but yet look at all the drama in the last 5 minutes of the match. So I think we've been getting everything we could ask from an entertainment value as spectators, and it's been fabulous for us. Let's move on to the very last quarterfinal, though. So we haven't spoken about it too much. Does anyone think that Joel Campbell and Costa Rica put it past the Dutch?
Joseph does.
Joseph,
I'm more of mine's that one is more of a hope than a.
It's a dream. It's a wish. It's a.
But out of the three, I think I'm happy with all my picks. This one is more of a hope than anything.
All right.
I mean, I don't think that Costa Rica really has enough talent to go up against and beat Netherlands, but I sure hope they do.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Netherlands are going to do it. This seems the. I think Netherlands is the heaviest favorite of this whole round. But having said that, again, I thought they were pretty awful for 75 minutes of that Mexico match. if they show up and do that again, I mean, Costa Rica's been legitimately impressive in this tournament.
Think about how easy this whole thing would have been for Spain if they went through as group winners.
Yeah, so, I mean, looking at the draw, Spain versus Mexico, Spain versus Costa Rica.
They would have.
Yeah, well, they're kicking themselves now, hanging out on the beaches.
I'm not going to predict a Dutch win. I'm going to predict that they lose because I hate them. Not the Dutch people, just people who play for the team.
Some of the current stars on the team. Cause, yeah, because I used to like the Dutch more, and it was Van Persie aside as well.
I mean, Nigel de Jong, just no. Van Persie, no. Robin, no.
Schneider, no.
Schneider, Vlaar. What the hell? Vlaar, ugh. I mean...
All right, so give me your score prediction.
2-1 to Costa Rica.
Okay. I'm gonna go 2-1 to the Dutch, as much as I don't like saying it.
How can you do that to me, man?
Because I just did, man. That's how we roll. The Dutch, unfortunately, are probably going to have too much, I think. That's just what I feel. That's what I feel, but Costa Rica are definitely going to make a fight out of it. They are going to put in a committed performance. And the Dutch need to be careful, man, because they can get stung. I mean, we've seen, like, how impressive is some of that counterattacking play from Costa Rica, though, man? Like, I've been really impressed. And I was most impressed by, I mean, a few of these underdogs. You know, Algeria went out, but I mean, man, how well they came out in transition on the counterattack was really impressive. You know, the way that a few of their midfield players were able to turn and break under heavy pressure to start a counterattack. I was really impressed, and that's something that Costa Rica are able to do to break with pace, and it's been impressive. And I'd love to see them tear apart the Dutch, but you know, I don't see it happening. But you know, no one saw them coming this whole tournament, so hopefully they continue the dream. And give us.
Did we see them beating Uruguay? Did we see them beating Italy?
Nope. We saw them beating England. That wasn't saying much.
And they drew with them.
They drew.
Right. Well, they did, but you know, the team did well.
Look, I just love this surprise. That's all I care. I want more surprises. I'm like that birthday girl that hasn't had a birthday for a while. Birthday girl, birthday boy that hasn't had a birthday for a while.
I feel bad saying it because it's like you like having this dream story, but then it's like I'm less excited for that matchup than when we get the traditional powers. Like it's kind of a little bit of give and take, because as great of a story as they are, I mean, then you're looking at the matchup that could have been Dutch versus, you know, the Dutch versus whoever else, or Spain could be, or Uruguay, or some other bigger team. But that's what we have to accept. This team has been really good in this tournament. They put a good performance. Yeah, these rounds are going to be exciting. It's just sad that we're, you know, it's to say that there's only, what, 10 days left in the tournament?
10 days as of
tomorrow.
12 hours
as of today, yeah. So, I mean, we only really have a week and a half, and there's only 8 matches left.
And that's it.
And that's including the third place
silence
match that nobody cares about.
And a black hole.
A void. What are you going to do,
for,
Martin?
For like a week and a half.
Do you know how long that is?
Yeah,
in like
10
terms?
Days?
It's like months and months.
Martin, what are you going to do without football for 10 days after the World Cup?
God, it was tough today. I mean, I'll probably just read a lot of college football message boards and try to ignore transfer rumors and get ready to go see Arsenal in New York, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially normally this time of year, I just turn to baseball. But as a Mets fan, it's just gotten harder and harder every year. So, it's going to be a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah, my condolences for the Mets.
I would advise that everyone spends those 10 days without not even using Twitter. Don't read transfer rumors.
Are you going to fucking DM me all summer again?
Yeah, and this guy's going to listen to his own advice.
I mean, I won't even know what I'm saying tomorrow or the day after tomorrow.
No,
but the point is...
You'll be on Twitter 20 hours a day.
I'll be on Twitter. I'm on Twitter now. I mean... So, but the point is, try to stay away from transfer rumors. Just try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that'll do it for us today. We've hit all our bases. Do any of you have another particular player that stood out to you? I mean, obviously we talked about James Rodriguez and his impression so far. Is anyone else that stood out for you, or a performer of the round outside of James?
Julian Green.
Hey, it was a nice goal, but it's not what
I would
count.
Say Pogba.
Pogba?
Pogba was fun to watch.
He is fun to watch. He's quite dynamic, you know. Exciting to watch him lope around the field.
Go ahead.
What was that, Martin?
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Martin.
Well, I was just, you know, purely for homerism, I will say, not that he was the player of the round, but I think DeAndre Yedlin probably made himself a lot of money yesterday, because he, I think, currently makes less than $100,000 a year.
Seriously?
And I think he probably did get on some the radars of some European scouts. I mean, I thought he had a really good game overall, and you know, he's so athletic and so energetic, and at the age of 20, I have to think of the European teams would have taken notice of that and say he's still young enough that we can get him now.
He looks moldable, right? He looks like someone you could develop. He has all the talent there.
Championship quality.
Yeah.
Championship quality? Yeah. Look at this guy. I mean, I think he
can... I think championship quality is fair.
Championship quality, or maybe a league outside of the premiership. Okay. You know. Whatever.
He needs training. Give him a couple of years, and then we'll talk about it.
But he's got a lot of talent, so that's good on him. Though, you know, he did impress when he came in, and we really thought losing a guy like Johnson, who's been one of America's best players in the tournament, and he came in and did quite an admirable job. So, props to him.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, he was one of those guys that when the roster was announced, I think a lot of people, even people that kind of somewhat follow MLS, were like, who is this guy? Why is he on the team?
Right.
I think he's gone from that to being like, oh, Yedlin, like he's our right back of the future,
right?
You know, in 2 weeks, which is typical World Cup tournament sample size of overreaction.
Of
course. But I do think he had a good performance.
Serge Aurier is the best right back in the world now. Did you know this? Serge Aurier is the best right back in the world after getting two assists in one match.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I would say Debuchy is the best right back in the world right now, right?
Just pay the money, right? That's all that matters, right? It's anybody says about anybody.
Yeah.
You pay, we pay. That's what they say.
Fair enough. Well, we're going to leave it there, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Red Card District. Follow these fine fellows on Twitter, Heisenberg Camp, Martin, Joseph at @IHateYourClub, Alex at @V_Beck_, and me at Morning Pint. Until later, guys, and we'll chat again after the next round.
Thank you.
Fuck Belgium.
Beautiful girl, love your dress, high school smiles, oh yeah.